And as we've just heard in sport, another big night for the men and women in black last night. The Black Ferns and the All Blacks taking on Australia and wiping them off Eden Park. Watching both those games was former Black Ferns captain Dr. Farah Palmer, and we'll talk to her about that shortly. Farah Palmer, the first woman elected to the New Zealand Rugby Union Board, also spent the day yesterday talking about women in sport, specifically the dearth of women in governance roles. She was part of the inaugural Women in Governance Conference held in Auckland that aimed to bring together women who hold governance roles in rugby to help support the growth of more women in governance and leadership roles in rugby around the country. And Dr. Palmer, who is also Senior Lecturer in Management at Massey University, is with me now. Dr. Palmer, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we may as well get your expert opinion on the Black Ferns and All Blacks matches last night, Farah, while you're here. Black Ferns first, absolutely dominant over the Wallaroos, 45-17. Who stood out for you?
Oh, look, it's always hard for me to pick a few of those players because I know them all so well. But I thought Kendra Cox-Edge played her usual game at halfback, where she kind of dictated to the forwards when to give it and when to go for themselves. I thought Eloise Blackwell played really well. And, the Fiofa Omasili led from the front as per usual. So, yeah, it was a great performance by the team.
They were playing for the Laurie O'Riley Cup, and it's the first time the Black Ferns have played at home in a while, and they really made the most of it, though, eh?
They did. It means a lot to this team because Laurie O'Riley was one of the first coaches for the New Zealand women's rugby team back in the early 1990s. And he was the children's commissioner, and he was just somebody who decided, right, I'm going to give my support to this team and do everything I can to try and make this team a legitimate national team. So, we owe a lot to that man.
Do there need to be more women's rugby internationals, Farah? And who could actually threaten the Black Ferns? It's not Australia at the moment, for sure.
No, but I think Australia is improving. They're definitely doing things in Australia to try and encourage the development of women's rugby in 17 and 15. And, of course, we've got the Northern Hemisphere teams. We've got England. They're always the ones that we love to beat in our World Cups. And then we've got teams like Canada as well. They do a really great job in terms of women's rugby.
Yeah. The brand of rugby they play is spectacular. Is one of the problems they have that they are so dominant, though, the result is a foregone conclusion. And perhaps, Farah, is that one of the reasons why the crowds aren't great yet, even last night?
I was impressed with the numbers that were there, and we have to keep working. This is a cultural change for a lot of people in terms of, we're not calling it a curtain raiser anymore, we're calling them double headers. We're showing that we value the women's game as much as we do the men's game. And we're just trying to improve that and change the mindset of people. So last night I thought that there was a huge number of supporters out there for the Black Ferns, and we just got to keep working on that.
And the All Blacks, Bledisloe Cup, back in hand now and a few more rugby championship points. Beauden Barrett, 4 tries and absolutely dominant. They never looked threatened either, did they?
No, I think if you were to talk to Hanson, he would say there are some things like in the first half that maybe they could work on. But that seems to be the way the All Blacks are working these days. They just kind of pulverise teams in the first half, and then they start scoring most of their points in the second half. But it was a dominant performance from the All Blacks as well.
Let's head off the field to talk about this Women in Governance conference now held in Auckland yesterday. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern spoke there too, and she said rugby still has a bit of work to do to become our true national game. Here's a bit of what she said.
Now, we've made huge strides in the world of politics and in your world of sport, but in both, we're still far from being done. Equality is still a way off. And the way I look at it, whether it is in our national politics or in the national game, if we purport to be truly national, we must be truly inclusive of all New Zealanders. Now, having a woman as Prime Minister and the Black Ferns absolutely tearing it up on the world stage, and trailblazing women like yourselves in governance of sport, they are signposts that we're heading in the right direction, but we're still far off from the end of the road.
And I guess some of the strides she's talking about, Dr. Palmer, are the Black Ferns being paid better. This was a sign of progress by NZR, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, look, we have been working really hard, as I said, in terms of showing that we value the women's game. It's not only that the Black Ferns, or 28 of the Black Ferns players, have been contracted. We've got contracted Black Ferns Sevens players as well. We've got more teams in the, I'm going to say it, even though I hate saying it, Tara Palmer Cup. You know, we've got a lot of resources going into the growth and development of the game. We've got women RDOs in the region. So there's lots that we're doing. And the Rugby's Women in Governance conference that we had yesterday was just another indication that we understand that we need to have equality and equity at all levels of the game.
Talk about that, more about that conference very, very soon. But New Zealand Rugby also awarded 151 retrospective test caps to its Black Ferns. The organisation does appear to be making some efforts, doesn't it, with the players, you know, themselves at least.
Yeah, and you think about what influences culture. It's things like symbols, language, stories that you're told, and rituals. And one of the rituals that the men have started to reinstigate since is the capping ceremony. So that was such a wonderful gesture to have that. And I was there at that capping ceremony, and everyone in that room, including those players from the early 1990s who perhaps have felt that they've not been included in the story, just really appreciated that gesture.
So what did you learn about governance in women's sport at the conference yesterday? What was covered?
Oh, look, we really had lots we wanted to do. So the organisers from the NZI management and myself included in the discussions, we had to say, right, what's going to be best for those women that are going to be there? So we really just wanted to let everyone know, look, you may be the only woman on your board at the at your province or at your Super Rugby club, but just to let you know, you're not alone. Look at all these other women that are doing great jobs in terms of governance, and what can we learn from each other? What networks can we set up? Where to from here?
Women are a key component in rugby's support network, aren't they? Massive numbers of, you know, women volunteers around the country. And I imagine in those numbers there are plenty of women with a lot of knowledge. What kind of leadership or governance roles should there be?
For women, you meaning?
Yes.
Look, I think the roles are there. We probably need to be two-pronged in our approach. One is agency. It's getting women to put their names forward and to be confident and brave enough to do so. So that was what we talked about. But the other part is the structural change, and that maybe that's looking at constitutions and looking at the process in terms of how people get on the board and what we can do as an organisation to ensure that there's greater diversity on our boards, because greater diversity of thinking is what creates greater governance, better governance, and of course that'll be better for our game.
You yourself, Farah Palmer, first woman on the NZI board, how did you get there and how hard has it been for you?
I don't think it has been hard once I got in there. It was tough for me to kind of put my, I don't know, I suppose I wasn't sure if I was the right person to even consider putting my name forward. And so I had a lot of self-doubt. And that was the hardest part for me, was just being brave enough to go, look, just be brave, put your name in the hat and just see what happens. I got in through the Māori representative. There is a Māori representative on the New Zealand Rugby Board, and I'm really grateful for the support that I got from the Māori Rugby Board to put my name forward. You know, so I have had the experience of governance through the Māori Rugby Board, and I just decided to be brave, put my name in the hat and go for it. And once I did that and once I got on, it's been challenging, but it's also been really, really exciting and rewarding.
Maybe that's part of the issue. I mean, you said you didn't feel that you were the right person to actually put your name forward, but, you know, really, you had, considering your experience, you had every right.
Yeah, and look, we had Raylene Castle talking to us yesterday, and she said, you all deserve the right to earn respect. And that really resonated with me, because there are lots of talented women out there who would all be great governors, and we just need to all kind of maybe say to ourselves, you earn the right to be there, and then you can earn respect, because it is a big change for some of the groups of our rugby community to address.
With the issue, Farah, of gender inequality firmly in the national agenda, that was a step, wasn't it? How do you think we can progress more women into governance and leadership roles in rugby and more generally in sport?
Well, there are lots of things, and we learnt from other organisations yesterday as well. I mean, Liz Dawson was there, and she shared what they're doing in New Zealand cricket to try and get more women into governance. And then we had Kirsten Patterson, KP, from the Institute of Directors saying, look, here are all these courses you can do. So as I said, I think it's a combination of getting women to put their names in, and it's also a combination of changing constitutions and changing organisational culture so that there are these opportunities, because you can't just do it from one of those perspectives.
Yeah, I see on a related note too, one good thing that's happening regarding TV coverage of the Farah-Palmer Cup on Sky is that it's increasing its live coverage of those matches to at least 16 live games, and it will now also have a camera at every Farah-Palmer Cup match to get footage for a highlights show over the season. So, you know, that's a big move, isn't it?
Yeah, and that is a really wonderful gesture, as I said, from Sky as well. This is our pinnacle competition for women below the Black Ferns. And so if we want to encourage more women to play rugby and to see that there are pathways, it's really important that they feel they're being valued. So that's a really wonderful thing to see.
Dr. Farah-Palmer, great to have you on the show.
Thank you.